둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Is that a Fonzie bobblehead?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here for checking us out. Do hope you're already a subscriber. If you're not, now is the perfect time. Hit that subscribe button. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every week, just like this one. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and, of course, discover some new ones as well. You can grab us anywhere you get podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some fantastic guests drop by lately. Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe is here. H. John Benjamin, you know him as the voice of Archer and Bob from Bob's Burgers. Keith Urban, Tim Heidecker, Les Claypool of Primus, David Yao of the Jesus Lizard. Actors Keith Powers and John Luis Castellanos, they both star in Uglies on Netflix. John Early, the comedian musician, Father John Misty, Sugar Ray Rayford, Kiana Simone, Akon. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with Dave Perner of Soul Asylum. They're back with a new album called Slowly But Surely. We're going to be talking about working with producer Steve Jordan, who helmed 1990s and The Horse They Rode In On. It's the last time they worked with him, too. His knack for narrative and story songs and the luxuries of coming up in the pre-internet era. Dave's also going to reveal the album title's inspiration and how it references the first female drag racer, Shirley Muldowney, as well as why he's a card-carrying member of the Roller Coaster Society and why he doesn't feel a need to represent all of their songs live. Speaking of songs, we get the stories behind tracks like High Road and Waiting on the Lord, as well as Miss This from the original Twister movie soundtrack, and the time they covered Terry Jack's B-side, Put the Bone In. All that and more as we dig into Slowly But Surely. It's Kyle Meredith with Dave Perner of Soul Asylum.
Hey, man. How you doing, Kyle?
I got to tell you, first off, I love this new record. And I love this new record. I really love this new record. You're also going to be stopping by our part of the woods here in Louisville, where I'm based. You're touring. Well, you've been touring with STP and Live, and you've got Juliana Hatfield coming up. This is going to be a festival date, September 21st at Bourbon and Beyond. So we'll be excited to have you guys back down. It's a big old bill. Seriously, congratulations on this record right here. I don't know, man, to be 40 years, I guess, or whatever it is, into your career, to still have something to say, to still have gas in the tank to make it feel exciting.
Yeah.
What's the trick? Is there an answer to that?
Not really. I mean, I enjoy it. I think that's the thing, is that you work so hard to try to get someplace, and then this is what I do, I suppose. It's what I've been doing my whole life, and I love it. And yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh God, what am I going to talk about? And that I haven't talked about a million times before, but try to mix it up.
Well, let's you bring back Steve Jordan as the producer. You guys worked together in 1990 on the Horse record. Why him? What's special about the stew that you all make together?
Well, I think the first time we worked with Steve was 30 some years ago, and he was very adamant about making the band play in a way that you sort of throw all your punk rock ethos out, and you throw out your predetermined attitudes about what things are supposed to sound like, and just really focusing on playing as a band and recording as a band, and not doing a whole bunch of overdubs and mysterious techniques, and just get a real honest recording of four people playing together. And that's what I wanted to do. I thought our records were starting to get a little conceptual in a way that, I could take the masters home and work on it in my basement, and then bring it back to the studio, and then do some background. Actually, we did do some background, some background vocals in my basement, or I have a studio in New Orleans, and it starts to get kind of like a lot of different things happening in a lot of different places, and I think that's, you can hear it. And a lot of people had told me that the record I did with Steve, the Horse they rode in on, is their favorite solo style record. And I told Steve that, and he said, that's because it's live, because people can hear it. They can hear that. They might not know that they're hearing it, but that's the direction that I really was ready to go, and the timing just worked out. I called Nico Bolas, who's Neil Young's engineer producer guy, because I thought maybe he'd be interested. And then Nico called Steve, and then I got them both. So it was a great experience. I met Nico when I met Steve, and when I met Steve, he just had something that I needed. And that I liked, and that I wanted to be around.
I couldn't have told you that it's because it sounded more live. But when High Road was released at first, I thought this sounds like the most immediate thing that I've heard in a while. And I mean that with no disrespect to any of the records. Like I like the records of the past decade, but there is something about that song that just drove, in a way that's like. It's one of those moments you sit back, you go, okay, all right. I know these guys. I remember these guys.
Yeah, I worked on that song for a long time, and I really worked to try to have a lot of different sort of tempos and feels, and I think I finally got that right after moving parts around and throwing parts out and just trying to understand how it was supposed to work together. I mean, that's a pretty good example of something that I sort of created in the studio. And I was just moving pieces of it around, and I played all the instruments, and so I was arranging and rearranging in my home studio. So I kind of built it like that, and then when we played it live, the first time I heard it, I was pretty excited, because I'd just spent so much time toiling over it, and
Which could be the
suddenly,
death of a song for a lot of times. Like, if you're working on it that much, like, it surprises me even more that it feels like it does when I hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time the band had heard it or played it, and I think that's kind of the where the magic sort of comes from, I guess, because they're reacting to something that, again, I've been thinking about for a long time.
It's always that thing, like, when's it finished? Like, you know, the painter, when is the painting finished? You know,
that's a big deal. It's a big deal with takes, like how many takes you want to do before you just kill it. And I don't remember what the French director's name is, but he said, I don't know when my movie is finished until someone takes it away from me, which I can totally relate to. And yeah, you can definitely overdo it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Dave Perner of Soul Asylum. Just looking at the tracks here, too. You Don't Know Me stands out as an incredible melody. And I don't know what it reminds me of, and that's always the case, right? What does that remind me of? I wrote down, I think I'm wrong about both of them. It's like Carly Simon, Janice Ian. There's something in there. There's something classic. But I don't know, like even the chords on that, like the chords you're using in that, and I don't know the chords, but they feel so nostalgic. And I can even hear that on Freak Accident as well. Like, you've never been afraid to go there. What do you call those? Kind of old soul chords in a way.
Old soul chords, yes. There's two different ways you could look at that.
Guess so. You're welcome.
Nice. But, you pull from things that make tickle your emotion or your imagination. So, For a considerable amount of time, I still do it. In fact, that's probably what happened there. I'll just kind of make a chord up, not knowing what it's called. Of course, my guitar player will go, oh, he knows all the names of all the chords, but I just kind of pretty sure that I was just dicking around.
And you get a completely beautiful song out of that.
Yeah, it happens.
Was it? I've learned there are some artists you can ask about a song, and they'll like to finish that thought. But then I'll ask someone like Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers about a song. He's like, I don't know, man. I just wrote it. It just came out, and there it is. Like, I kind of get that feeling a little bit when you're talking about a song like that right there, because this is such a beautiful song, and it it feels like maybe it just fell out of you.
Yeah, I think. Ryan, my guitar player, came over to my house and I played him whatever demo I had. And it came together really, really quickly. It's probably one of the least toiled over songs on the record. And Steve really liked it. So Steve, you know, made me get it right.
Now, that can't be the story for a song like Waiting on the Lord. Which, I mean, that feels like it comes from a different part of your brain. I started thinking about like the song String of Pearls in the same way. You know, this is what, like, this feels like a very different side for you. Like, where does that one come from, if I can ask directly?
I had a real thing for writing narratives and writing stories. And at some point, my ex-guitar player was like, what's with all these story songs? Like, he didn't like it. So I kind of backed off on it, but I still love to write a story song. And I think that situation is kind of obvious that I'm talking about the robber barons or the ruling class and the rest of us. And it evoked, you ever heard of that, what is it called? The Wizard of Id?
Mm-hmm. The comic, right. Yeah.
King standing on this balcony and like there's just the hordes of people underneath him and he's kind of an idiot or whatever. So yeah, I mean, that's where it's coming from. I'm like, look at how terrible people can be treated by their own government or the king or whoever it is. And yeah, sort of a proverbial tale. Is that what you would call that?
I like it when you do those. It's funny how one person can just ruin trajectory. You know, you have that's the old thing, right? So you have 100 people telling you you like something, you got one person telling you you don't, and that's the person that ruins your day right there. That's
pretty much.
That's funny. That's funny. It makes sense. I mean, pulling from that type of ideas for lyrics. I mean, I that's what I took from High Road as well. I mean, there's a lot of arguing out there. You know, it's true,
and that kind of is overwhelming. And I think that maybe I'm lucky that I got to live in the pre-internet era, because yeah, there's a lot of arguing and a lot of noise and a lot of information.
People doing their own research. Yeah, but that's got to be nice as an artist. Like, if you get the luxury of a career, and for you, as you said, to have come, you know, had found your first success before, like, you don't have to. Like, there's a lot of bands, like, it's the death of immediately, and there's no mystery, and I miss the mystery, and, you know, just what you have to go through to get attention out there.
Yeah, it almost works backwards for me. It's like that people keep trying to get me to do weird shit on the internet, and I'm pulling back, and well, it didn't exist when I started out, so there was never a time where I was like, this is great. Sure enough, it kind of, yeah, it's yep, it's a lot of opinions, everyone's got one.
Well, you can always just grab the stapler and go hang some flyers on the telephone pole, and you've got the entire pole to yourself these days.
Anymore, it's like illegal to put a flyer on a telephone pole.
I'm not surprised by that. I didn't know that.
When I was in the studio, I had a binder, and a binder with the lyrics in it, and the studio engineer was fascinated. He's like, "Why? That's so cool! Like, what is that? A binder? You use a binder?" And for the life of me, I was like, "What do other people use?" I had no idea. And he said they use their phones, which never occurred to me to pull the phone in front of me in the studio, although it makes a certain amount of sense, I suppose.
You don't lose the, you know, if you lose your phone, you lose the lyrics outright, I guess, you know, it's always been the thing. But man, there's still beauty in it. There's still beauty in the, I mean, I keep post-it notes around. I put my notes on there. You know, it's, I don't know, man. That nostalgia thing, it's good and bad. It's
you gotta have it. The set list. See, what are you gonna have? Everybody gonna have their iPads out there with their set list on.
See, and there's still a thing too, because when the fans, even the kids today, get a set list at the end of the night that was on the stage, you know, like, that's still a big deal. It's nice that that's stuck around at least.
The only problem is when they pull it off the stage and you're still using it.
Oh, I needed that.
Hey.
What are we playing next?
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Dave Perner of Soul Asylum.
I we were talking before the interview too, because I wanted to ask, naming it Slowly But Surely, after, as I read, a pioneering drag racer, Shirley Chacha Muldowney. I'm not familiar with her. What's the significance?
The significance for me is she was the first female drag racer. She was the first woman of drag racing. And just to, for me to think about what that must have been like, I think that already I love her whole character, her audacity to walk into this world full of grease monkeys or whatever they're called. I'm sure they're not the most, what's that called? No one wants to get beat by a girl. I mean, she's always been kind of an idol of mine. And I just always thought she was really cool. And she gave us her blessing to use her image, which I was very happy about. And perhaps one day I'll get to meet her, you know. But I, you know, I know, I always, like I said, I collect Hot Wheels. So the design of the cars and all that stuff fascinates me, but I don't have a sports car that I'm trying to fix that's sitting in my, I don't drive hot rods. I get Hot Wheels, and that's enough for me. But anyways, I finally got a Shirley Muldowney Hot Wheels, and that's a very special day for me. I was so excited, it was weird.
The stuff we collect, I'll give you one for one. You remember CMJ magazines? You guys were on the cover of a few times through the years. College Music Journal back in the 90s. I started collecting those. I've gotten all of them but the first year. And let me tell you, fucking killing me. So the moment that happens that I get my Shirley, that's I understand.
There's 12 of them out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Was it a weekly or a monthly? I don't, it was a
It
monthly.
was a monthly. Yeah. Yeah. And it started in 93, which means it was the hardest. That was the hardest to find. And their magazines, everybody kept the CD. That makes
Yeah.
sense.
How do you file those? Will you keep them in a plastic container? And
I tell you, they're right next to me on my bookshelf, just sitting there.
laminate them.
They're in the, no, I see, I can't take it. I don't take it that far for the same reason that you don't have a car sitting in your driveway that you're fixing up, because there is a point where you go too far. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's known for collecting these magazines. I just want to have a hobby and I collect the magazines, you
It's not bad. I got a lot of paper. I got a lot of saved up fucking posters and a lot of old rock magazines. Hey, did you know I was a member of the Roller Coaster Society?
Tell me more about the roller coasters.
Roller Coaster Magazine once a month. And I love roller coasters. And we'd go on tours of these places that had amusement parks attached to them. And at one point, God, I don't know when it was, we were out and it seemed like every place would play. And me and my friend, who was the lighting guy, decided we were going to try to ride every roller coaster in America. I mean, we didn't get close, but it certainly got me into it. So, yes, I'm a card-carrying member.
I love that. I love watching roller coaster videos. I can't ride them. I get freaked out. Motion sick. Like I'm one of those guys, you know. But put me on a water slide and it can be the longest, loopiest indoor thing and I have a blast. What's the difference? I don't know. But my brain says yes to one and no to the other.
Probably the engineering.
It's got to be something like that.
Seems like the scarier roller coasters are the old wooden ones because they just shake and rant and rattle, and it feels like they're gonna fall apart.
Yeah, when you play here in Louisville, it's next to our Six Flags, which is not Six Flags anymore. It used to be Six Flags, Kentucky Kingdom. And there's a good wooden roller coaster. My son rides it all the time. He says it's a good ro ro wooden roller coaster. But you'll be on the same lots as it. You can just walk right over.
All right.
So there you go. Once again, connected to a theme park. I got to put us back on track a little bit here. Only to say, oh God, yeah, I was just looking at your all stuff. Because the Twister new movie, did you see the new Twister?
No, they made another one, huh?
Yeah, they made another one. But you guys were on the original one. And I only bring this up because I love that soundtrack. Not just because you guys are on it, there's great songs on there. Miss This is on there, and it I did not know this till now. Unless I'm wrong, you all have never played that song live.
Nope, that was if I remember correctly, that was created on a four track in San Francisco. And then yeah, I came back. I wasn't living in Minneapolis at the time, but came back. We played it once in the studio. Well, we didn't play it, we probably played it a few times. And then we cut it and finished it and sent it in. And it sounds very lo-fi, I noticed, compared to Van Halen and some of the other things on that soundtrack. But yeah, I was kind of thrown together for the, I think, yeah, I think I had a couple of the parts, and then yeah.
So you don't have like a service to make sure a song gets played in front of people. I don't know. Like I was just thinking, like if you're a successful band and you got fans and I love B-sides. I always say it all the time. Like my favorite albums are sophomore albums. You know, I like the ones that sort of the lesser. I'm not trying to be cool. I just somehow connect to the ones that feel like the lesser celebrated or sometimes. But I love B-sides. The idea of what you said, a lot of times, especially back in the 80s and 90s, B-sides were the songs that weren't really finished. You know, they were a little bit more rough. You know, they're like, oh, we need something for this. Yeah, we never really got did anything with this one. Here's that. And I would fall in love with those songs. And then as the artist, every now and then, if we want to be real special this show, we're gonna bring one of those out, you know, just for the hardcore fans. And that's what I always wondered. Like when you create something, it can just live there. Like you don't have that desire, that need to say, well, at least gotta play it in front of people, you know, one time.
Yeah, I mean, I have hundreds of hours of music that I've recorded that is just kind of, I don't know what it is. It's like a room full of unfinished paintings or something. And sometimes you are like, yeah, I'm gonna listen to this. And I'm like, yeah, it's time for me to work on that some more and I'll see what I can do with it. Now, as far as B-sides are concerned, Terry Jacks. Have you heard of him?
Terry Jacks.
Terry Jacks. He is the guy that did the song Seasons in
Season
the
of the
Sun.
Sun. Yeah, okay. That's what I was that's what I was thinking. Right. Yeah, okay.
The B side is Put the Bone In. And we used to hang out at this bar in New York, and they had this 45 on the jukebox. So it was right when CDs started to come out, and they wanted one more song for the CD to get people buying CDs. And we put the Bone In on there that we just did. It's like Lenny K and Ed Stasium, and everyone was just kind of fucking around in the studio. And it's called a Bone slash Us, Bone Us track. And that's the story of Put the Bone In. Yeah, and it's a song about a woman's dog gets hit by a car. She wants the butcher to put the bone in because the dog wants a treat because he's injured. There's a trivia for you.
I coincidentally, and I mean this too, yesterday I inherited a small stack of 45s and that was in there.
Check the B side.
I haven't heard it yet. I haven't gone through them yet, so I need to do
Air Jags.
that. Well, I'll actually I'll wrap it up with this and only to say that I did see that it was the 40th anniversary this year of Say What You Will. Do you sort of in the same vein of what we're talking about, do you pay any service? You know, will you pay any service of that just considering the anniversary?
When does that start? When does the anniversary of a record?
That's for you to decide, right? You can do it on the actual day or it's the year because it's the anniversary all year long. If you wanted to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes people reissue stuff, and sometimes, I mean, we put out a box set that was probably on, I don't even know, but yeah, why not? We'll play a song off that record.
A fun one to revisit. What a look how far you've come, baby.
Yeah, it's hot.
Same green rooms for 40 years. Man, but I mean this too. It's a hell of a body of work that you have made, and it seriously is. The new record is fantastic. Slowly but
Thank you.
Surely is so good. I've been listening to the songs all week long, and I'm sure I will continue all year long too. So, Dave, thank you so much, seriously, for taking the time to talk about
You
it.
got it. I appreciate your time.
My thanks to Dave. Soul Asylum Slowly But Surely is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Again, please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Again, those help out so much. And after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Letters to Cleo, Radiohead, Orla Gartland, The Who, The Beatles, David Bowie, Tori Amos, Garbage, Fleetwood Mac, My Morning Jacket, The Decemberists, Matthew Sweet, Wishy, Vampire Weekend, Claro, Tracy Chapman, Mondo Cosmo, Childish Gambino, and my interview with Samantha Morton, who's currently once again starring in The Serpent Queen on Stars. An example of what you hear weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, so I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm a toy guy. I collect Hot Wheels. So there it is. It's out in the open.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.